The following talk was recorded at Libra Planet 2022, Living Liberation, an annual conference on current issues in ethics, social justice, and technology from the Free Software Foundation. Libra Planet is a live conference, and speakers often use slides and other visual tools to assist their presentation. You can see the videos of these talks at media.libraplanet.org or on the FSF PeerTube channel. Libra Planet speakers do not represent the mission of the Free Software Foundation. We host speakers talking about their uses of free software in different kinds of political and commercial work. The FSF supports their freedom, but does not take a position on any political issues other than those necessary to uphold the principles of free software. Like all the FSF's work on behalf of the freedom of all computer users, Libra Planet is made possible by thousands of individuals. To keep our work going, please consider becoming an associate member via my.fsf.org/join or making a donation at my.fsf.org/donate. You can stay informed by subscribing to our newsletter, The Free Software Supporter, at fsf.org/fss. For more information on Libra Planet, you can visit libraplanet.org/conference.
My name is Jose in Spanish. I'm from Chile. I'm very proud to be as a room monitor in Libra Planet. Well, I'm a developer and musician. Sometimes I play guitar. I want to present and feature to Bastien Guéry from France. This talk is titled From New Emacs to Code.gov.fr and will be presented by Bastien. Bastien is the free software officer for the French public administration with a background in philosophy and cognitive science. He became interested in the free software movement in the late 90s. And taught himself how to program to contributing to new Emacs. He has been involved with, among other things, one laptop per child and Wikimedia France. Bastien, the room is yours.
Thanks, Jose. Thank you very, very much for having me and for the presentation. I will try to convince you how important it is that every free software activist around here knows what the public sector, what the administrations of her or his country is doing with respect to free software. Are your ministries using free software? Are they promoting free software? Do you have a legal framework for these administrations to have an obligation to use more free software or to publish the source code of what they do and what they develop. I'm deeply convinced that this is important, and I hope you will agree with me. I know the topic is very sensitive. We, in every country, we have different governments, different political approaches to what is the general interest, what is the representation of the people, how all it works. But we all have somehow a power to change what the state is doing. Whether we want more state or less state is not a matter. What we want the state to do with the money we contribute with respect to free software is really the matter. And I really want to present modestly my thoughts about this that have been evolving for the last 20 years. So very quickly first, and I would like this to be a discussion. As you can see, I don't have very structured a slide. So it's just a few notes, a few important ideas, and I'd like to discuss them with you. So first of all, I'm 44 years old, meaning already from an old generation of free software activists, which feels good because we've seen so many changes over the last decades. I started using Emacs in the late 90s, and this was the first important encounter with free software. I used to use proprietary software with many, like many of us, and suddenly someone was talking to me through a software saying, hey, you can use it, you can modify it, and if you modify it in some interesting way, please share your patches. And that was a great feeling, and this feeling never left me since that day, and I tried to become a more useful contributor for everyone. My day job, as Jose mentioned, is head of the free software units within the French Interministerial Directorate for Digital Affairs. So I will come to that to explain what we do and how we do this a bit more later. But our mission is to convince public administrations and agencies to use more free software. To use more free software to publish their source code under a free software license, and to attract people in the administration who can help these two other goals. I'm sure your administration is already using free software. Sometimes it doesn't know that it's using free software. So a lot of what we do is to encourage administrations to publicly explain what is their use, what are their policies about using more free software. And also lots of them are publishing source code, but why and how and why is it useful to other agencies, and how to present what could be useful to every other citizen of the world. So this is basically it. And as I told you, I really want to have this conversation with you. A bit more about my background. I started in philosophy, and I got interested in free software because of the thing I was worried about in philosophy, that is, how do you access to information, to the truth? Because software, even 40 years ago, everyone could know and could anticipate that software is going to be in every bit of infrastructure for the access of knowledge. Then I had this interest in knowing how can we ensure that this access to knowledge through the internet will be fair to everyone and will respect everyone's freedom to share his own knowledge and freedom to contribute to the knowledge of other people. So I first try to promote open access within my own lab. And the open access movement is very large now and very active, and every country has different laws on helping researchers to publish under open access conditions, but it's growing. And two decades ago, it was really interesting to help with this movement. Then with a friend of mine, Samer Hassan, we had this observation that political activist movements around the world were using proprietary tools. So we felt it was wrong, and there was a feeling of being a bit helpless when we tried to join the free software movement and to convince other social movements in the world to use fair tools. And we started Move Commons as a way to help every initiatives explain how they contribute to the larger movement of the digital commons. Are you publishing source code? Are you contributing to Wikipedia? Are you contributing to other digital commons? Are you being transparent about your procedures as an administration? What is the value that you're defending? So we started this at the beginning of 2013, and it was quite successful, and there is still some seeds here for something to grow and to connect together all the people who fight for the commons. And not all of them have to know about free software, but to build bridges between free software hackers and social movements around the world. Then I worked for the One Laptop Per Child Foundation. It was really an eye-opener about the condition of how people access to knowledge and how important it is to get in touch with free software at a very early age, and how empowering it is to get access to free software at a very young age. I continued by working for OLPC France, and we made sugarizer.org that is still active and that is still providing access to free software for education. But here, my main idea was that the ideals behind free software is really about knowledge. It's not just software, it's not just technical. It's about sharing knowledge, and that's important to see a worldwide movement putting this idea at the very center of the movement. Then I work for Wikimedia France, very consistent with what I was doing and promoting so far. I started a small initiative with other people called ShareLex, which was about providing access to legal text. And even if you cannot pay for a lawyer, how can you discuss about the law with other people? So I had this feeling that the law is like source code for many people. Like, it's complex, you cannot read it very easily, and it's unfair. So how can you make this a bit less unfair, and how can you put together experts of the law, lawyers, any people that's working for that, with other people, so that they can explain this? And we were publishing things under CC Creative Commons by share-alike license, so that everyone could reuse the contents. Je Code was an initiative to promote programming for children, and here the main point was, if you don't do that at the school level in official education programs, then girls and boys don't have the same chance to get interested in this matter. So it was not about having workshops about programming here and there. It was not just the fun part of all this movement that started more than 12 years ago. It was really about convincing the institutions to provide a fair access to, so that girls and boys have the same motivation when it comes to hacking and knowing the internals of their computer. And lastly, sorry, it's a bit long, but this Found the Code initiative was really about helping maintainers get a value from their benevolent commitment to free software. The problem we continue to discuss about how to help maintainers, how to fund free software, is still there. There are many solutions right now, and we are still working on finding the good one, I believe. But I thought we could have a crowdfunding platform so that developers could get paid for what they give away for free when they work on their free time on free software. I will switch the screen just to check how much time I have left, if anyone can tell me. I don't want to use all the time. Is that like 10 minutes? Or a bit less?
No, you have about 20 minutes.
Okay.
So no problem. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Jose. You can, because I don't see you, you can just say stop, or say just 5 minutes left. And okay. Thank you. So as you see, free software is one aspect of what I've been doing. I've been trying to provide commits and patch for the Emacs ecosystem, and that is really my main experience in helping with free software projects and communities. But it was a strong one, and it's been a long relationship. But I've seen many aspects of hacktivism for knowledge in general. And I would say that since the late 90s until 2013, I was in this idea that as an individual, I can make a difference behind my screen, just working on software, just sending emails, just joining others in associations, you know, promoting this topic and trying to make it important. Then I read this book by Fred Turner, 2012, that is called From Counterculture to Cyberculture. And I recommend everyone to read this book, of course. But for those who don't have time, that's the takeaway, the main takeaway. How important it is to convince political parties and to make a cultural change at the level of institutions, not just don't stay in some individual fight about your ideas, but join political movements, join institutions, work for places that have a big structural impact. So if I put this message, it was really a change in my approach on how to make the most of my time. So is it by joining the April Association in France? Is it by joining some political party? Is it we had political parties very sensitive to the ideals of free software, but where to join and what to do and what would be more useful? Now I want to switch to another view of how I see free software history. Of course, this is very rough. We had prehistory before 80s, and then we had history when Richard Stallman started the history by building the GNU system. History continues, of course, but the 90s were really the time where everyone was get conscious that we were building a useful system for everyone. Then people from the open source movement came, and there was this idea of conquer the market and get recognized for how useful free software can be for companies. And that is still going on. And then we had a big turn in 2010 about tech giants entering these discussions about free software and using the term open source for promoting what they do and what they contribute to, which is, I know, a very complex issue and sensitive issue. But my bet is that the next decade will be about conquer the public sector and the public administrations around the world. I can testify for what happens in France, what happened in some other European countries. I cannot say for other countries, but my bet is that in 10 years from now, or in 8 years from now, we will have governments entering the governance of big free software and association or big free software projects. For example, do we have a government within the Linux Foundation, within the Free Software Foundation, within the Eclipse Foundation? Do we have representatives of ministries from any country in other big free software projects? Not yet, but why? I mean, these people have money, they are users, sometimes contributors, and they are the ones that represent citizens as civil servants around the world. So with this big picture in mind, why is it important to contribute to having more administrations use and publish free software? Of course, there is this philosophical principle about that the Free Software Foundation in Europe has been successfully promoting public money, public code. That is actually the opposite. If citizens contribute with the money to what software is bought by administrations, then this money should contribute to free software. That is a very basic principle, but a very efficient one. There is rarely someone, some public agents I discuss with that can provide a meaningful counter argument to this idea. Also, we should never confuse administrations and government. Governments are volatile, they change. Administrations are more stable. Of course, they change too. Every government changed the administration first and in a very strategic way, but administrations is made of many people. For example, in France, we have 5 million people being civil servants, 5 million. So 1 million is teachers, but the rest of the 4 million are people working in for the ecological transition. Others are working for the Ministry of interior, for the army, for any aspect of the administration. But they are stable institutions. In at least in France, we have this stable institutions where it's very useful to invest. That's the same reasoning behind where should you invest your time. For those of you who invest their time in Emacs, that's a very rational bet, because your time, your commitment and your energy will land in a very stable country, and Emacs is known for that. Another very important aspect that I discovered for the last 4 years by working within public administrations, that we have legal framework that favors diversity, and that can indirectly help for diversity in free software, at least for the free software project that the administration is building in France. And that could be useful when sending the message, hey, come and work for administrations. Because if you love free software and want to work in a safe environment, respecting diversity, then you're in a good place. Also, I want to say something as a citizen. When I was a free software activist, I was completely focused on the law and what can I change at the legal level so that administrations are forced to use free software more or to publish their source code. And of course, this is a good fight, the same way that the technical fight of building a free software system is a very good fight, a necessary fight. But the legal fight is not enough. Even when you have a very good legal framework in your administration, by your government, you have to get into the institutions, understand what works and what doesn't work, why people are still using proprietary software, why people are not publishing all the source code they have and they develop and they pay for. And this is a cultural change. So even with a very strong legal framework, and you have to push the change from within the administration, and that's why it's an important fight. The bet, of course, is that changing things from within this big machinery that is the administration will have a larger impact than just the individual fight that we might be tempted to stay in. So now let me give you an overview of what we do. We help every administration to publish their source code. So we've been building this website where we list all the source code that administrations are publishing. So you can go and visit this. It's not very interesting per se, but for example, if I look for attestation, then you can find the source code that the Ministry of Interior has been publishing about the COVID document that you needed to have on your telephone. And this was the proof that no personal data was being collected by this application. So here, this is really for transparency, and that's important that this administration has been publishing this source code. And you can also check for all the organizations and groups that are there. You can have some stats about who is using GitLab, who is not using GitLab, what the various forges are being used, and also the list of dependencies. That is really important. We want to use this list of more than 2,000 dependencies to know where public administrations should invest. What are the critical dependencies that we're using and for which we can make a difference by helping the maintainers, by funding the project, and so on and so on. But so we try to make this all visible so that we can build the strategy on having a sustainable systems in at the administration and how to be useful to the rest of the free software ecosystem. So that's for promoting the publication of source code. For the promotion of the use of free software, we have a list of free software that we built progressively. But behind this list, there is a community of public agents that are experts of this software and that can help each other. And at least in France, it's very difficult when you're from within an administration to discuss with people from other administrations. So here we are forced to discuss with each other. So experts from Ansible, for example, can be reached through this community, and they are discussing on how to use this software better. Sometimes the discussions are about, is it still a free software? So when we had this Audacity incident recently, we had to make a decision on how to react. And so the administration decided that past this version 2.4.2, administrations were not recommended anymore to use this software because we couldn't trust the maintainers for not using the data in the wrong way. We are actively working on getting this community a lot bigger and referencing a lot more of free software, not just for central administration, but for any administration out there. And last but not least, we have the Blue Hats movement. And this movement is about recognizing each other. When you are a free software activist in the administration, you want to get known for what you do, for your free software skills and ideas, and you want to meet others. So we have many community initiatives. And for example, this one recently, we launched the Blue Hats Semester of Code. We called for projects to submit ideas of contributions they would like to receive. And we had more than 39 projects submitting ideas and saying, yes, if the public administration is funding an internship for 6 months, we would like to welcome these contributors to help them understand what is a free software, how to contribute to free software, and that would be very useful. So that's important to send a message that public administrations are not just consumers of free software, but also acknowledge the need for contributing and to make some projects more sustainable by providing contributors and also to have these blue hats movements more apparent. So here it is. I'm here to discuss these few ideas with everyone. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bastian. I have a couple of questions. From Fuad to MB, he asked, any story of successful election campaigns that use such promotion and issues? Let me see. Okay. Any stories of successful election campaigns that use such promotion as an issue? I don't know if you can answer this question.
I'm not sure I understand the question. If you can copy it maybe in the discussion or...
It's very general.
But maybe I can just say a word. For the last 2 decades, I've seen associations like April, for example, in France, which is one of the biggest free software activist associations. They've done amazing work at explaining what is free software to politics. But then we see that sometimes it's not enough. We have a generation change. Some politics today, they better understand what is at stake. But we need to continue having this association explaining to the member of the parliament what is free software and why the legal framework should care about this and so on and so on. But that's not enough. We need to get inside every political party and have free software. Just think about the ecology movement. Free software as a political movement is here for the last 30 years. Ecology has been here for the last 80 years. So we need to get inside and getting within the administration is a good way to get inside a big institution that has an impact on the politics afterwards.
It's hard to tell the politics about free software and freedom from this perspective. And I have a question, maybe to continue this topic. You said conquer public sector as an issue from 2020 to 2030, right? How would you do if we have from common people that resistance to change? They prefer office over LibreOffice because they always use one software and not the other. How we can try to change the switch from their brains?
Yeah. I think that's what we've been trying to do at the beginning of the movement, after we've been trying to get together and build a free software system. Then early 2000s was the time where everyone was gathering in small groups, or Linux user groups everywhere, GNU Linux user group everywhere, and trying to reach over the families and neighbors and say, hey, use this, I can install it on your computer. So we've made a lot of progress on this, and this was good. But that's what I call the individual fight. And then I think part of this fight is a dead end, because then we are stuck in discussions on how to have GNU Linux on the desktop. And I think it is a matter, it is a problem, but that's a problem, we tackle this problem as if we are going to be late always. The same way, how do you have this proprietary software, Microsoft Word, for example? How do you build a clone that is free and that respects everyone's freedom? That's good, but this attitude leads us to being late always. The desktop fight, we are going to be late. So when we were fighting for free software within the administrations, we saw this as a user problem, and we wanted to have LibreOffice on every civil servant's computer, which I think is a good goal, but it's the hardest one. That's the thing that will come last. What you need to do is to convince people, computer scientists and developers and teams that are in charge of setting up web servers, big domain applications within the ministries. They are already using some free software, so it's easier to convince them to use more free software that is respectful of people's data and so on, and than to convince everyone to use LibreOffice. I think we should go at the herd first and then let let the leaves grow from you know, taking the fortress first.
Yeah, good answer. Can you tell to people something about the blue hats? Who are the blue hats in the world?
Yeah,
that we are watching news about black hats or white hats.
Okay.
Gray
hats. Yeah. So Blue Hat started 3 years ago, and it was really as a way. The question we had was, when you go at a conference or at a gathering of tech people, then if you see someone with a black hat, you understand what he is and what he does, and stay away. White hat and red hat and so on and so on. And so we wanted to have something very easy to recognize. Oh, you are working for a public administration and you know about free software. And that proved to be useful. So we started to see a few hats here and there, and to say, oh, where are you working? Oh, I'm at the Ministry of Culture. What are you doing? Well, I'm providing LibreOffice support for my users. Oh, you use LibreOffice, and so on and so on. So there was really this small trick, and it's more like a meta community, because the administration is so big and diverse, and people have different skills and interests. But it's growing. We have 2,000 people reading the newsletter. And every year we organize an event and we have 60 people doing presentations and sharing stuff. If you go on the website that I've been showing, we also have workshops every 2 weeks, online workshops, where a public servant is presenting the way he's using a free software to other blue hats from other administrations. And then the videos are public and we are building this expertise sharing like that. And this is not a trademark, so anyone can use a blue hat just to say, hey, I like my public services. I want to defend the general interest that way. And I'm also a free software person who can help my administrations. There is a lot of opportunities just to help us track bugs and in software we develop. The COVID-19 period, the first lockdown was a huge lesson on how, in times of emergency, you can get civil servants and people together to work directly, very efficiently on solving problems when they are focused enough. And free software was an evidence. It was something obvious at the time. like, okay, free software breaks the barriers that we had before, and we can work together without worrying of who has what and territories and so on.
Great. Thanks, Bastian.
Thank you.
Well, we on LibrePlanet has done for now. We'll be later with another talk. So, bye. Thanks.
Bye, Jose. Bye, everyone. Thank you very much.